You can be, yeah, y'all just stay seated. We're going to do something a little different today. I had a nice sermon ready to go, and then this happened, and then they said there was no power at the church, and I mean, it was just constant. Something always, it was like constant because of that hurricane. But after I look at Bahamas, we've got nothing to complain about. Yes. Nothing to complain about. I can't even imagine. I remember when I was living in Benson and Irene came through, and there was not 20 yards apart, trees in the highway and houses tore up and cars in the road and upside down, and one of my members got killed. It was the worst thing they had had since Hazel. And I remember how bad that was, and then what I saw in the Bahamas, what we had in Benson was nothing compared to what they had. Look, complete devastation. Stephen said, like after the bombing, the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima. I mean, it's just terrible. It was absolutely terrible. And we got to make sure that we can tell these people, you can lean on us too. Amen. We got to lean on each other because it could be us next time. Isn't God good? Amen, amen, amen. A priest was invited to attend a house party, and naturally he was properly dressed, and he was wearing his priest collar. A little boy kept staring at him the entire evening, and finally the priest asked the little boy, "What you staring at?" The little boy pointed to the priest's neck. When the priest finally realized what the boy was pointing at, he said, "Do you know why I'm wearing that?" And the boy nodded his head yes and replied, "Yes, it kills fleas and ticks for up to 3 months." All right. That was better. A little bit better. Okay. Got a better book. Amen. So I remember riding out the storm and watching the power flick, and then finally we didn't have power for 5, 6, 7 hours. And I remember when Puerto Rico was out of power for months. Oh, some of them were out of month for a whole year out of power. I remember, these little generators they had that were actually not a great big generators. It provided lights and it provided radio and communication with the outside world, and it could be solar charged. And so I got one of those bad boys, and that thing come in pretty handy unless you forget to charge it, and it's not going to charge solar in the middle of a hurricane. Anyway, but I already had it charged. You could charge it up with 122, so I charged it up before I got there, and it did a wonderful job. Of course, it's hurricane season again, and it just boggles my mind to sit back and look and see what it looks like around here, before the storm, then during the storm, and then after the storm. It depends on what TV channel you watch. Now, we went back and forth from the Weather Channel to Channel 9. Channel 9 was giving us hope and encouragement, and the Weather Channel was, the Weather Channel was gloom and doom, and good Lord, have mercy. I said, put it back to Channel 9. She said, well, she's just saying the same thing over and over again. I said, yeah, but it's good stuff. Let's hear it again. I remember before Irene came, again, Benson had not had too many hurricanes, and I remember that we had the hurricane that came before Irene. I remember going out in the yard, and when the hurricane was coming up to us, like we had a great old big tree out there with these leaves. I came over, it calmed down, then when it came back the other way, it blew the rest of them off the other way. And I said, wow, these people here haven't seen this in a long time. Then Irene came. Good Lord, have mercy. It was like being pounded by B-52s. But again, it was nothing in comparison to what those guys in the Bahamas got. And so let's just please remember those guys in the Bahamas. If there's anything you can do, one farmer, he wouldn't even let him take his picture. He got $50,000 worth of generators and sent them to the Bahamas. And he would not let you see his face. He would not let you. I mean, he just kept showing his back as he was getting them at some Costco or something down in Florida and sending them. And I said, isn't that something? He said, you don't need to know my name. He said, I just need to know that I'm helping out. And so you might not consume $50,000 worth of generators, but you can do something. There's always something you can do. And the biggest thing we can always do is pray. But put some feet on your prayers too. Amen? So as I was going through, and if you've been on here on Tuesday nights, honestly, if you practice any of the stuff that you've been learning, it wasn't as bad as it could have been in here. Amen? Because we're learning how to be at peace and learning how to handle these situations. And so I've got some of those scriptures here. I'm not going to keep you long. I just wanted to talk about these scriptures a little bit. And then we're going to be able to go home. And some of you, I know, are still cleaning up. And if anybody needs help cleaning up, raise your hand and let us know. And somebody will be there to help you. I promise you. My neighbors, it was kind of wild. I parked my car between my house and the neighbor's house so the wind wouldn't get to it. And it blew the tree down right in front of my car between the houses. But that's okay because it messed my car. I got plenty of leaves on the car, but I messed the car. I didn't, to God, mess my car. But I was going to say is I cut down a tree from my neighbor next to me, his fence was blown down in several areas. And so there is an advantage to a chain link fence versus a wooden fence. Amen. Okay, so here we go. Just a couple of verses, probably, I don't know, 6-7 verses, and I'm just going to talk about scriptures that are able to bring stability when everything around you is unstable. We've all had some unstable times just in the last 36 hours because we didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, it was a Category 5. It was a very strong Category 5. Then it went to Category 4, Category 3. Then it was Category 2, then Category 1, then back up to Category 2. And before it came to us, it was back to Category 3. It was just constant, all this stuff going on. And I just sit there and say, well, God's got this. And I've been wearing my Team Bethany, God's got this, but I changed it for two reasons. Number one, I gave them all away. I got to get some more. But number two is when I went into the prison the other day to talk to the guys just before the storm, I said, God's got this. And on the other side, it says her second favorite saying, either way, I win. And I said, no matter what happens in this hurricane, we win. We're coming out ahead. Amen. So the very first scripture I want to talk to you about is actually, it's probably one we all should know. Very strong. Some of us may not. If you don't get this in your head, and I've got a copy, we can go to the copy machine, and I got a whole copy, a list of these scriptures right here. But it's Philippians 4, 6, and 7, and it says, be anxious for it. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I like this other version says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and prayers shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Okay, so here it is. Paul, if anybody had a reason to be anxious. Remember, we were talking about being anxious a lot in the last few Tuesday nights. Of course, depression is based on the past, and it's got. Whenever you're asking yourself questions like this, shoulda, coulda, woulda, could I done it different? Could I done it better? Blah blah blah. Those things, and you're thinking about the past, so depression will set in. But if you're thinking about the future, then it's what if, what if, what if, anxiety sets in. Now a lot of us will have anxious moments, especially when we watch the hurricane. It was bad enough just to know it was coming, but after seeing what it did to the Bahamas. You know, and remember just a few years ago, they were talking about a Category 5 hitting us. It didn't. I think it went out to sea. What little bit we got was just minor. But if a Category 5 had to hit us, what you're looking at Bahamas would have been us. Amen? So I thank God that he took care of us in the storm. Even though we had some damage, it was minor in comparison to what could have been. But if anybody had reasons to be anxious, it was Paul. Paul, when he wrote the book of Philippians, he talks about rejoicing in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. How many know that Paul was in prison when he wrote that? Not only was Paul in prison, Paul was on a Roman death watch. At any moment, they could have come and taken him out and taken his head off his shoulders at any moment. And so here's Paul, not knowing whether they're going to let him release him or they're going to kill him. They don't know exactly what's going to happen, but he knows that death is imminent. And instead of him being anxious, he chose to rejoice. Anxious has a cousin. You know what that cousin is? Worry. You find, hey, anybody knows any worry warts in here? Does anybody is a worry wart? Okay, you ain't got to put your hand up, amen? Anybody sitting beside a worry wart, do not point to them because you'll worry them to death the rest of the service. Worry can immobilize believers. It makes us fearful. It makes us distressed. You know, I've decided to replace prayer or replace fear and anxiety with prayer and thanksgiving. As it was going over, I was just praising God. As it was going through, matter of fact, I looked out the window. I went to sleep. It was so calm in my heart, not outside, but it was calm in my heart. And my dogs were getting all bent out of shape. And so I got up to look out the window, and all of our lights were out. And down the road was one street light. And when I opened up the windows to look, or opened up the blinds to look out the window, that one street light went out. And you can see the trees blowing. And I just think about this when the Bible says that the trees clap their hands. I was thinking they're just rejoicing in the Lord. They're out there going, lean on me. Get it? Lean on. Okay. You'll be sitting down and all of a sudden it'll hit you. Go, oh, man, lean on me. The trees. All right, never leaning. All right. So look. He says when you replace praise and worship for anxiety, you get peace. And the Bible says it's a peace that passes all understanding. Let's put that in a better sense. Have you ever seen somebody in the middle of a storm and they're just as calm as they can be? Not necessarily a physical storm, but a mental storm, an emotional storm, a family storm, and they're just as peaceful as they can be. And you think, that just doesn't make sense. That's what it's talking about. Peace that passes all understanding means peace that doesn't make sense. How can they be so calm and cool? Don't they see what's going on around us? Remember me telling you a story about the train traveling through the valley, and as it's traveling through the valley, the water, the thunder and lightning's going, and the wind's about to blow the train off of the tracks, and there's water coming up to the tracks, and everybody's scared and don't know what to do, and there's one little girl in the front just swinging her feet, singing. And they kept looking at the little girl in the front, swinging her feet, singing. And they said, ma'am, or girl, don't you know that we're in bad trouble now? She said, yep. Says, can't you feel the wind pushing the train off the track? She said, yep. Said, don't you see the water coming up on the sides? She said, yep. Said, why are you sitting there swinging your feet, singing happy? She says, I ain't got anything to worry about. My daddy's the engineer. Amen. Well, you know what? Our daddy's the engineer. He's got this. Somebody say God's got this. That's right. That's right. So Philippians 4, 6, and 7, an awesome, awesome one. Now let's go to the next one here, and that is 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Now, if we're not careful, we'll get that all bent out of shape and think all it's got to do is with the sin of doing some kind of sin in your life. But let's just take this deeper, deeper and deeper. Somebody said, let down the plow, preacher. Let down the plow. Somebody said, let down the plow. Okay. No temptation is taking you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted above your ability, but with the temptation also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Another version here. No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. Tell somebody God will never let you down. God will never let you down. He will never let you be pushed past your limit. He will never let you be pushed past your limit. When the first time I heard that, I said, I beg to differ. But you know what? I found out. Yeah, he does not let you get pushed past your limit. Amen. Is it hot here to me or just to everybody? It's hot. Okay. Is our air conditioner? It's not on? Okay. You did? Or y'all, if y'all flap really, really hard, the angels will get their wings and we'll be fine. Come on. Okay. I hope I ain't been hit by lightning. Amen. Okay. He will never let you push past your limits. He will always be there to help you through it. Now the greatest temptation we've got during that storm was worry, anxiety. You know what I did? I've learned to do. You know, I went Monday just to get groceries. Monday, I went to get groceries in Walmart, and it looked like the locusts had already hit the shelves. I'm trying to get through all these carts. I'm just getting stuff for groceries. I'm not even there going through all the crazies. And there was a lady that brushed by me, hit my cart, looked at me like I was in trouble. And she just pushed right by me and muscled past me. If she hadn't been 90 years old, I would have said something. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. You know what I do? All during the year, especially when it comes close to this time of year when we know it's going to be stormy, I go ahead and get my stuff, be prepared, have batteries, extra batteries, go ahead and get my little, I don't have a generator outside because so far we haven't had to have one where we live at, because usually 5-6 hours, that's it. Now, we have been without power for 2 or 3 weeks before with Irene, and with Floyd we were out power for 2 weeks, but at Possum Track a few years ago we were out power for over a week, but other than that, we just a couple hours, you got it back on. And so I don't really worry about it too much, but I've got that generator that I've got from, like they use in Jamaica, not Jamaica, but in Puerto Rico, and got a few other crank radios. I just keep them ready. I got them in one little area, so when things get bad, I reach in, open the door, pull them out, and sit them out there. And I learned not to go try to buy all the milk, eggs, and bread when a hurricane comes. I just get the stuff I need, have it sitting there, stuff that is this staple. I can just leave it right there. If I need it, I need it. If I don't, I can give it away, whatever, because I refuse to get in a panic over life situations. Hurricanes is one of the biggest life situations. But if you keep yourself in, keep everything in check, have everything together, don't wait till the last minute. Don't wait till Christmas Eve to buy your whole family Christmas presents. Amen? The same way, don't wait till the day when the storm's coming and you have to fight your way in the weather to get to the store to get your stuff. Have your stuff ready. And then you don't have to worry. The problem is a lot of times we worry because we don't prepare. Prepare and you won't have to worry. So the greatest temptation is worry. All right, let's move a little further here. Here's one of you probably heard this a million times, and we're still going to say it again. Romans 8:28, and we know that all those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. That's why we can be sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. God knew that what He was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the onset to shape our lives, or shape the lives of those who love Him along the same lines as the life of His Son. Hey, God's got this. You know, my greatest example of faith, my greatest, absolutely, you hear it all the time, my greatest example of faith was Bethany. I mean, she. There was times where she got a little perturbed about things, but most of the time, I'd say 99% of the time, she was just as calm about the whole thing. I do remember that time. I think I told y'all that they put that. What's that patch we were putting on her? That heavy duty. I can't think of what it's called now, but that big old pain patch. It was 12.5. Then it went to 25, and they went to 50. Went to put 50 on her. This was just before she died. She could still get out. We went to Walmart, and she had that 50 patch on, and she got on that cart, and she looked like she was little Tanya. She was going woohoo, and she was going all over that store. And I said, "Beth, get over here." I said, "Stop it. Stay with me." She said, "But Dad, I'm doing okay." I said, "No, you're not. Stay with me." And so she did another one. She loved her. That was her favorite sound. Woohoo! She went woohoo again. And I said, "Get over here!" And she ran over me. And I said, "I'm in a checkout line." She's run over me. And I said, "Bethany." She said, "What, Dad?" I said, "Do you know what you're doing?" She says, "Huh?" I said, "That gives me my answer." I said, "Get back off my feet, please. Back off my ankles." She backed up and hit an end cap, knocked it over. She looked at me and she went, "Oops." I said, "Get on and get the other end. I mean, get on, move, Bethany." So she knocks over the other end cap. So we got all this stuff falling all down around us. And I said, "Bethany, just go sit over there with the little old men that's waiting for their wives. Just sit over there. I'll park the cart. You're going to get a DWI right here in Walmart." She didn't worry. And God just showed me that. Good gosh, she didn't worry. She was facing death and didn't worry about it. God, please let me be like that. And so, like I said, when the hurricane was coming, I looked outside and I said, I know it could be bad. We could have some bad stuff, but you know what? We're still in God's hands. We know that all things work together for good. God does this. And either way, we win. We win, we win, we win. Now, let's go a little further here. We're almost through. There you go. Ready? On that day, when evening was come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said, teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. One thing I've learned, and I said this, I bet you I said this 100 times in the last week. When Jesus is on board, you don't have to fear what you're going through. When Jesus is on board, you don't have to fear. I refuse to live by anxiety. I refuse to live by depression. I refuse it because God is on board. God's got this. I'm choosing. Yet it says to me, you have to choose this. It's not something that just comes natural. You got to choose this. I refuse to live anxious. I refuse to live what if, what if, what if. I refuse to live in the shoulda, coulda, woulda because there's a lot of shoulda, coulda, wouldas and there's a lot of what ifs in my life. But I choose not to be looking at what ifs and shoulda, coulda, wouldas. Live right now, right here. You know, we'd be riding down the road and my wife would go, did you see that? Nope. Oh, did you see that? Nope. She goes, well, what are you looking at? I was so busy thinking about what I was working on school or thinking about what I'm getting ready to preach next or where I need to be or just praying in my mind, praying for somebody that I would never catch what was going on around me. And so since I've been doing this class, I've been trying that. I ride down the road now and I look. I look and I go, aren't those children precious? I look over here and say, if you listen real carefully, you can hear that Chevrolet rust. I just keep looking and saying, you know what? Instead of living in the what ifs and the shoulda, coulda, wouldas, I'm going to live in the right now. Right now. Today is the day of salvation. I'm not going to live stressed out. I refuse it because God's got this. So here it is. We get ready. We're almost through. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right. Even though I walk through the, here it is. I just read the whole song. The Lord is my shepherd. Y'all say this with me. The Lord is my shepherd. Let me get it so y'all can see it. Yeah, that might help y'all a little bit. I remember one time I was doing a funeral, and there was 12 children, I think. And this lady was in her 80s. She had 12 children. I'd only been her pastor for 2 weeks when she died. And it was a very emotional funeral. We're at the graveside. And as I'm getting ready to walk out through all those children, which there were all, some of them were older than me, so when I say children, they were her children, but they weren't children, okay? And when I got to the very last, the youngest one who was older than me, she said, and everybody's crying, and I try my best not to get emotional at weddings, funerals, but sometimes you just can't help it. So I'm already choked up, and then she goes, as I went to shake her hand, she said, can you quote Psalm 23? And it's the very first time ever I didn't bring my Bible to the graveside. Ever. Hadn't brought my Bible to the graveside. And she goes, can you quote Psalm 23? I was emotional. And so I said, let's all repeat this together. I said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside green pastures. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. You prepare a table for me. And the people are trying to follow me, they're going. And when I was so aggravated with myself. When I got to the car, Bonner Paul looked down in the car and said, they got you, old boy, didn't they? And I said, yes. He said, look on the back of that card I gave you when you walked up to the thing. I'll turn it over, and there was the 23rd Psalm. I said, do you think you could have told me that just a little sooner? He said, actually, I enjoyed watching you sweat. Okay, so let's do this together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. That reminds me, when DC was little, he had been giving us a fit. And I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There you go. So one day DC had been giving us a fit. He was just a little bitty thing. He'd been giving us a fit, giving us a fit, giving us a fit. And finally he sits down to eat and he wasn't even gonna pray. He's just doing this. And I said, son, you need to do something. I said, you need to say your prayers before you eat. He said, okay, Lord, I thank you that you prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Amen. Oh, yeah. David says there's no need to fear death. Why? Because Jesus is with us. He's our shepherd. He's there. He's leading and guiding. You can trust him. In this big old storm, again, I just trust him. I've just learned to trust him. Am I perfect at it? No, I still mess up. We all do. But I'm learning the older I get, the more I trust him and the more I see his hand. And this stuff on Tuesday night has really been helping me too, because like I told somebody before, you know, that guy says, I'm not just the president of the hair club for men. I'm also a member. I'm not just preaching this. I'm trying to live it on this Tuesday night. And I've been trying to get it in and trying to hold it and hold it close and trying to do what I said. And I do a whole lot of breathing and I do a whole lot of body scans and just stop and watch God have control. Now, real quick, I'm getting ready. Y'all say that means nothing. See? I'm getting ready to quit. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted amongst the nations. I'll be exalted on the earth. And let me just read that a little bit more to that. I just read the whole Psalm, Psalm 46. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth, security, I'll say security, though the earth be removed, all security taken away, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. When I say mountains, y'all say strength. Strength. Strength be carried into the midst of the sea. And though the waters, y'all say peace, roars and are troubled. My peace is troubled. My security is gone. My strength is gone. My peace is gone. Though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he's made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. When you look at the very beginning, that you see stuff that's so devastating. Time is so devastating that the mountains are cast into the sea, and just it's just a powerful, powerful stuff. Sort of like that Category 5 when it hit the Bahamas. And if you look at it contextually, it happened without warning. You know why they used to have so many hurricane deaths in the early 1800s and 1900s? You know why they had so many? They didn't have weather forecasting like this. They didn't know. And so when it came across, they would be just mowed over. Didn't know that it was going to be what was coming this way. We've got a chance to know because we got all these warnings. Used to, we got tornado warnings once it touched the ground. Now we get a tornado warning when there's sails in the air. And it's like it could go down and be a tornado. So we're on top of all this stuff, and it has saved a lot of lives. But he's still talking about this time when everything is falling all to pieces. Hey, have you ever had a time in your life when everything was falling all to pieces? Everything. Everything you trust in, Everything you trusted in for security was removed. Everything you trusted in for strength was carried away. Everything you trusted for peace is nothing but roaring and trouble. Watch this. When things are falling apart around you, verse 1 says, again, He's our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Watch this. He's our refuge, a place to run to, an uncommon protection. He's our strength. He surrounds us because it says He's our refuge and strength. Strength means to surround, uncommon strength, and He's a very present help. Somebody say now. Now. Uncommon timing. He provides it now. There's five things, and then we're going to close. When things are going crazy in your life, when your whole life is being shattered, it might not be a hurricane. The hurricane or the storm may be in your family. It could be your children. It could be your marriage. It could be your job. It could be your friends. It could be anything. It could be a number of things, but everything's falling all apart. But everything within your power, you're trying to keep it afloat, and it's not happening. It's falling apart. Five things. Five things to count on. Number one, there's something to know. Verse one, God is. That's just as simple. God is. Y'all say that. God is. God is. Number two, something to believe. The God of hosts is with us. He's with us. Not only is God here, but He's with me. He's with you. He was in my house the other night when you could hear the wind whipping around. He was there. Something to know, something to believe, something to see. In verse 8 it says, behold, see the works of the Lord. Verse 10 says something to witness. He says, I'll be exalted by all the earth. And finally, something to experience. Verse 10, be still and know. The word to be still means to be quiet. Just sit still for a minute. Be quiet. Just right now, all of us, just sometimes we're so racing in our minds that we can't even hear anything around us. Let's just stop for a minute, everybody. Just stop. This is like we're doing Tuesday nights. Here's what I want you to do. For right now, here's what I want you to do. And just calm down and just listen to the rest of this service while it's getting ready to happen. Now, I know this might sound crazy, but this is how you can listen to God. This is gets you in the position to listen to God. I want you to hold your hand up. Everybody hold your hand up. Spread your fingers out. Now, we're going to breathe in through our nose. Do not let it out. Breathe in through your nose, and we're going to count to five. After you breathe in through your nose and count to five, hold it. Then count to five again, and then let the air come out through your mouth and count five again and keep on going. Watch this. I'll give you an example. Watch. Ready? Right now, if your blood pressure is high, if you're anxious, if your pulse is going, here's the bad part about anxiety. Anxiety gets your pulse going. And if your pulse goes over 100, if your blood pressure rises, here's what happens. Your thoughts go from the front of your brain, the frontal lobe, which you make decisions, to the back where you don't make any decisions. It's automatic. It makes you start doing crazy mess because now you're automatic. Okay? Anxiety will mess you up. So here we go. I did this in the hurricane. And when you start doing this, you can actually hear God because now you're not hearing everything else. Ready? Here we go. Breathe in. Hold it. Count to five. Now blow through your mouth. One more time. Breathe in. Five. Hold it. Five. Now breathe out through your mouth. Five and keep on going. Whenever you're trying to hear from God, And it's getting so anxious around you that you cannot hear because all you can hear is shoulda, coulda, woulda, or what if, what if, what if, what if, or the screaming and the hollering or whatever's going on. And you cannot calm down long enough to hear from God. Try that. It may take once. It may take twice. It may take five times. But it will get you to where you can hear from God because now you're calming down. Once you calm down, God can speak to you. It's amazing. He says, that's being still. Be still and know that I'm God. That's part of being still. He's the place to run to. Doesn't mean stop working. Doesn't mean stop any activity. What it means is when I'm being still, it means I take it out of my hands and put it in His. That's it. My hands are put in His. All right. Let everybody stand. When you go home today, everybody stand and close your eyes, bow your head. No looking around. DC, come here and play something. Please. Be still and know that I am God. I dare to say some of you will be tried before you ever get out of this place. Some of you will be tried before you go to bed tonight. Others will be tried tomorrow. But still, if you're not careful, you can just let all this stuff run through your mind and you can't even hear God. Stop and breathe. Stop and breathe. Like I was telling some of y'all last week, I went right in the middle of a fight. When I went into the prison the other night, right in the middle of a fight, the guards came in and started taking the guys out, and everybody was so anxious, and they were just—it was awful. And I said, everybody sit down right now. And I got them to start breathing. I said, right now your frontal lobe is not even working. You're back on you at the back of your head right now. You're just on instinct, and you're just trying to. Through self-preservation, and it's getting worse and worse in here. Calm down. Breathe. 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 And as they started breathing, within a matter of a minute, two, 3 minutes, everybody calmed down. Then we could talk about what happened. And then they could do some therapy. But until then, it was crazy. In your own life, that's how you be still. Listen to God. Has He ever let you down? Has He ever let you down? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Here we go. If you're here right now, not going to make an example of you, not going to embarrass you, you stay right in your seat. If you're here right now, and the very first thing again, of course, that causes anxiety in our lives is because we don't have a proper relationship with God. So everybody with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, nobody looking around. I want you just to think about it for a minute. Do I have a proper relationship with God? Have I asked Him into my heart and life? Have I asked Him into my heart and life, but I've let it slip away? And I'm really not living like I should, and I know that I know that I know that I'm not right with God. But I really want to be. If I'm talking to you today with nobody looking around, every eye closed, would you slip that hand up right fast like, I'm not where I should be with God, but I want to be. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. We're all going to do this right together. Right now, all of us. All of us. A prayer rededication. Ready? Y'all pray with me. Lord, I need You in my life. I know that You desire a closer walk with me. And I desire, say it, I desire a closer walk with You. I recommit my life to You right now. I want to draw close. Because You promised, when I drew close to You, you would draw close to me. And I thank you for that peace right now in the name of Jesus. Now, maybe you're here today and you're in the midst of a storm. I'm not talking about a Dorian. I'm talking about you're in a storm in your own life. Maybe school, maybe your kids, maybe your marriage, maybe your job. Maybe just you've got something going on that you can't even share with anybody because it's so terrible inside of you, and you just know that you've got to have some relief, some of the fears that you've got inside of you, but there's a storm brewing and you're needing God to step in. But nobody looking around, every eye's closed. Will you slip that hand and say, yeah, I'm in the storm. I'm in the storm. I need God to do something. Lord, bless them right now. Let's pray together. Ready? Lord, you see the storm. You see the clouds. You know the pain. And I trust you to take care of it. But I need to know that you got this. So right now, I'm taking it out of my hands and I'm putting it in yours. That's part of being still, is taking it out of my hands and putting it in yours. I trust you, Lord, and I thank you that you got this in the name of Jesus. Now give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, if you have any other needs you want to come to the altar and pray for, the altar's open. You can come anytime, but you can come right now if you want to come to the altar and be prayed for. Tuesday nights, it's live now, live strong. I guarantee you won't regret it. It's awesome. Live now, live strong. Everybody that's gone, been doing it, says it's helped them to draw closer to God because it's all biblical. Last week, we talked about how come Jesus couldn't do many miracles in his own place. Of course, doubt. But what brought the doubt? Past experiences. Isn't he the carpenter's son? Again, past experiences bring doubt in our lives and causes God not to be able to work. So after we have a past experience, we expect it to be the same way all the time. That's not how it works. Come on, you're going to love it. Tuesday nights. Look at somebody again and say, God's got this. So either way, we win. Ain't got good. All the time.
Yes, Lord, bless those brothers.
Father God, we just love you and we praise your holy name. And Lord, we just thank you for being with us through the storm. Lord, we thank you for steering it away. And Lord, we praise you that you were here with us all through it and you protected us, Lord. And Lord, pray for those that were less fortunate, Lord. Just bless each and every one of them, Lord, and we pray that they survive and they do well after this and see your hand in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen.